One more time, we did tremendous. Anytime now, I know Hollywood's coming in to sign every one of you up, so get ready. And don't make yourself cheap. Put those prices up, kids. Well, we have another import tonight. Yay. Who said yay?
Yay.
You said yay, Lisa? Another yay? I heard another yay somewhere else. Oh, she's... This import I have known since, well, she was a young adult. Because she's pretty old now. No, she was a young adult. And I met her mom-in-law first. And then I heard about this nice young lady that was going to come visit me, and she did. And I fell in love with her, and everybody that has met her had fallen in love with her. But guys, she's married. She's married. Paul, she's married. No, she's just a delight, and she has a wonderful spiritual family up there in Bellingham, Washington, which is north of Seattle. So here comes this young lady that I think is just wonderful, and it's our Rita.
You're looking at me like I'm supposed to say something wise. I don't have a prepared talk tonight, but I do have a God story. And it spanned over a 40-year period. Okay? So what I'm sharing tonight is about a God story. It's about God's timing, that no matter how long we wait for God's plan to unfold, that it's always the right time. Another little piece in here that this story sort of touches on is, have you ever heard the saying, be the change that you want to see in the world? Okay, so it touches on that. It touches on Millie's saying about if we live like the animals and we follow our instincts, which is basically listening to God and the angels, and we make our decisions based on that, that our decisions can be easier and our life can flow a little bit easier. So I'm going to go back to when I was 6. Because my family, and I say this with love and respect, my family didn't have a lot of tools. They didn't have a lot of tools to create a whole lot of love in the environment. And as a 6-year-old, I can remember looking at it and thinking, this is not how it was meant to be. I was really clear about it, too. It was weird, because I can look back and I remember this one particular moment that I had that thought, and I thought, I was 6. But at that moment, and I didn't know it at the time, but I can look back and see where I, and Millie always says, I was put into the family to maybe learn a different way and to possibly shed some light. I'm the youngest of 5, so I'll just give you that to start. So being the youngest, it was kind of interesting because I took it upon myself to think that it was my job and my responsibility to make the family happy and to love each other. And in that journey, I lost myself. Now, there's one particular sector of my family that I'm going to share that I was actually given permission to share about. I asked her and she said it was fine. Because my oldest sister had a very rough life. rougher than most, and I'm not going to give a whole lot of details other than she was addicted to drugs and alcohol by the time she was 14. She was involved in relationships that were physically, mentally, emotionally abusive, and all during that time was also involved in drugs and alcohol. She birthed two girls under these circumstances, and I took it upon myself to think that I could fix it all. And during one of those times that I thought I could fix it, I thought, oh, I could bring her to see Millie, and that will make it all better. And instead what happened was I was left as empty as I possibly could be, because she wasn't ready. She wasn't ready for it. And I can remember, and I was making myself literally physically sick over my inability to fix this particular sector of the family. So I remember one time she was visiting with Millie, and I was there. And if I could describe her at that time in her life, I could say it was almost like a cage. She was almost like a caged animal, where her defenses were so far up, she trusted no one or no thing. And there was Millie in her absolute love, and she couldn't even receive that. And I was busted. I was done. I was so tired. And Millie said to me words that changed my life forever. And she said to me at the moment, these words are going to change your life forever. And I said, please give them to me. And she looked at me and said, who do you think you are? I went, oh, I get it. It's not my job. It was never my job. I realized at that moment she was God's child. I could only do so much. So there was a particular instance that happened that was particularly awful, where I made the decision to literally leave the family and heal myself. And, you know, it can seem selfish to say that, but I knew I had to do it. It was something I had to do. I had to heal myself because I wasn't doing myself any good by making myself sick. So, with God on my shoulder, I went on my journey. And over those years, there were many visits here and many visits from Millie up north. And I had been working on building my love volume, not only for myself, but to be able to give it away. And now, you've got to bear with me because there's lots of thoughts that I want to share, and I might be rewinding a little bit and fast-forwarding. So just bear with me here. So in the process of getting my life together, which I will say my life is extremely blessed, I give all, as they say, I give all of the honor and glory to God and the angels. But they need us too. They need us too. So let's see, where did I want to go with the next thought? So my life is getting together. I kept a very safe distance with this family. So it was my sister, who now is away from all of the bad relationships. She is with her two children living in various places. And I made it very, very comfortable for me to have a distance from them over the years. And I'm going to say this has been over the last 17 years. Very safe distance. I would have phone conversations, and that was fine. But there wasn't going to be any visits, and there wasn't going to be any one-on-one time together, because I had to, I hate to say this, but I had to protect my soul and protect myself, because it just wasn't where I wanted to play. But still, in the back of my mind, I had this vision of a six-year-old that wanted the family to be loving each other and hugging each other and talking to each other and being what I thought as a six-year-old a family should be. I always had that vision, but I had to let go of it in order to get it. So I am now going to fast forward to the last 2 years when I made the decision that I wanted to begin to help, because I'd gotten to a point in my life where I was functioning well, and I'm happy and joyous, and I've got loving, wonderful, happy, joyous people around me. And I thought, you know, it's time to give back. And I decided to move my life towards coaching people to help them take responsibility for their lives, help them create joy for themselves. And in the process of deciding that and really getting clear about it, and I'll say I really, really, really got clear about it about August of this year, really clear. No, August of last year. So December rolls around and I get a phone call from my sister, who's in at this time in Virginia, and she is still living amongst her two daughters, and one of them now has a son who's 13, and I won't lie, when I would even, and I hadn't talked to the girls in probably 17 years, I would have these visions of what it looked like over there, police showing up at the door, and all kinds of violence and yelling and screaming, which was no longer conducive to my life. Anyway, so I get this phone call from my sister, and I don't know what it was about the phone call. This was December. I was being guided to something greater. Now, my whole life was now dedicated to taking care of what I had created for my life, which was real love and joy and peace and all this wonderful stuff. And now I'm being guided to go to Virginia. And I'm thinking to myself, are you sure? Like, really? Are you absolutely positive this is what I'm supposed to do? But I knew I had no idea what I was getting myself into. But here's the thing. I dedicated my life to working for God. And I thought, as long as I am doing that, and let me tell you, I've got to add my mom in here, because mom crossed over in 2003 and works very diligently in this family. And she continues to be one of my guiding forces in this life. So I want to give much credit to my mother's guidance. So I am now planning this trip to Virginia, not knowing what on earth I'm getting myself into. I'm thinking, oh, brother. Well, after my initial thoughts of, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do, I had a calm in my soul that I can't even explain. So that's when I really knew this was God at work here. I had no idea what I was getting into, and I really, quite honestly, towards the approach of the visit, I was calm. I was even told by my sister that my two nieces hated me because I left. I'm going into that hornet's nest with a calm in my gut. It's got to be God. So I basically just promised myself that I was going to go there and I was going to listen and be guided and I would know what to do and say. And the truth is, I got there, and I was greeted with love. And I can say unexpected, but really, when I look at it, absolutely. Because God was present in this from the moment I started the whole process of wanting to work for him. So, needless to say, they were starving for the tools that I had to share. And the flow of the visit was such that it was the family unit was healed. And there was no effort. There was no effort. How is this possible? You know, and I'm a believer in counseling, okay? I'm a believer in let's go, let's work it out. But in this instance, I believe all that it took was my diligent faith and my vision. God said, yep. And it took 40 years, and it was worth the wait. Because my oldest sister, who, and I want to give a little bit more detail here, because there, it's such a miracle, it's beyond words. This is a woman who was diagnosed multiple personality, schizophrenic. She was on antipsychotic medications for years. antidepressants. She's had 15 surgeries on her physical body. This woman was broken in every way. Since that December, and I call it that fateful December, she is off of her antipsychotics. She's taking a mild antidepressant. And every now and then she'll take something for anxiety. But she is now working with God. And her life is good. And are you ready for this one? Mm-hmm. She moved to Bellingham. Mm-hmm. And she is now, and all of this took place in less than 1 year. So from that December, where I had no desire whatsoever to even be close to this sector of the family, here she is from December to early December of this last year. And she is doing amazingly well. Who'da thunk? My dream came true. It took 40 years, and you know what? It was worth every single second of it. That's God's grace. And it's better than I ever imagined it would be. That's what's so great about it. It's better than I imagined as a six-year-old that the family would be. Now, there's other siblings, and Millie says they're one by one going to be trickling in. I say that's up to God. I'm just listening. So that's my 40-year God story, and thank you for listening.